Welcome to News Over Brews, the only podcast that breaks down the best of this week's pop culture over a nice cold beer. Sponsored by PopBreak.com. I am your host and moderator, Al Manarino.
Myself, or are you introducing me?
Well, I'll introduce you.
Okay. Well, no, we're going to change it up.
Oh, we're changing it up?
Yeah, we're going to change it up a little bit.
Okay. Wow.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of News Over Brews. I am not Al Manarino. I am Lucas Jones. Al Manarino will be joining us a little bit later in real time. So we are just going to go ahead and introduce ourselves. Sitting to my left is good friend, pasty man, Ryan DeMarco.
Hello, Lucas. Thank you for that wonderful introduction, as always, and thank you for letting me come to this podcast as I slept through the previous one on a Christmas Day.
Well, technically, your girlfriend refused to wake you up, so we can blame her if you're okay with that.
Is she listening right now?
I don't know. Does she listen?
If she's not listening, we can blame her.
Okay. If she is listening, Ryan loves you very much, and he's been telling me all night. He just can't wait to see you, right? That's what couples do. They see each other, like, regularly? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And joining us is longtime friend, first-time guest, Dan Kimchick, director of broadcasting for the Philadelphia Flyers and host of Minor Chats.
Guys, first of all, clapping for me makes me very excited, but I'm just excited to be here. Lucas, you brought up this idea of coming on a show that mixes beer with pop culture, and just the excitement just started just going through my fingertips. I'm sitting here right now with a beer I've never drank, and it's like being in Willy Wonka's chocolate factory, but with beer and pop culture. And Lucas, I just want to thank you, Mr. Wonka, for having me here.
Well, you're welcome, Dan. You know, we need to spice things up in the new year, keep things fresh. You know, it's like a kind of a marriage that hasn't necessarily gone stale, but would benefit, I think, from changing the dynamic a little bit.
You know, sometimes I see every marriage, you know, sometimes just introduce another guy into it. You know what I mean? Just see what happens. Just
spices kind of things up.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's what you guys have done, and I'm just excited to be that other guy.
And let's be honest, what doesn't taste better with a little extra sausage in it, right? Am I right, guys? What do you think?
Everything tastes better with that. I think we can all agree.
So apparently... Once Al leaves, apparently we just turn into 5-year-olds.
The mice are at play, that's it.
Also, Al is here eventually, so he won't be in the introduction. You'll have heard his voice in our stock intro. But
I have not stolen away Al. I have.
You will hear him later when he joins us. Even though it's not live, it doesn't make much sense. We can always just edit him in, but I don't think we're going to go through that much trouble.
Let's not do that this time. You know, like you said, change things up. He's going to be joining us in a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So let's get to the beer. This week, Ryan picked up the beer.
I did.
And he did a phenomenal job.
Thank you, sir.
He picked up a beer from Weyerbacher, which is made in Easton, Pennsylvania, called Old Heathen Imperial Stout, which is one of my favorites. And I always see it when I go into liquor stores because it's fairly common. And I always go, man, that's good. And I never get it because I've had it so many times before and I'm always looking to try something new. So I'm glad that you got it so that I can re-experience this beer. It's sold in 6-pack, 12-ounce bottles, 8% alcohol by volume. How much did you pay, Ryan?
It was around like $11.50.
Okay. So you're talking like $11-$12. Yeah, so it's 8%. It's 7 types of malt, 2 types of hops. What do you guys think? Why don't we go with Dan?
Wow.
Guest of honor, yeah.
You know, you go to me first, and I don't have all these different beer words you have, this vocabulary of beer. But the way I'd have to put it is it's almost like a reduction that I would have with some type of savory, sweet dinner, or maybe even put it on the dessert for a little extra kick. And just what I'm getting out of it is just pure joy, I'd say, is what I'm getting. And every time I take a sip, it just coats my palate in a way that I cannot put into words. Just so happy to drink it. So happy.
Yeah. That's pleasant.
Yeah. No, it's definitely useful to get like, you know, the rookie perspective, I think.
I'm more than a rookie.
Let's
I'm
say
more of like
first
a...
timer. How about that? Is it first timer?
I mean, well, I mean, not rookie in a disparaging way. I mean, no. Somebody who doesn't have the vocabulary, you know, because they can sometimes provide like some stuff. Like we wouldn't think of that. Like we go right to our stock words that we use to describe things. But
yeah,
I would have never used that kind of. But it's totally true.
And I'm a listener, and when I listen to you say sometimes these things about beers, I don't know, but it's so above my head that it makes me want it. And, you know, it just
He does
works.
Have a way with his words.
He does. The way Lucas just, he just carves these words out of stone, and you just feel that there's a lot behind it, you know? And it just, right now I'm happy to be here drinking this beer.
Well, we're happy to have you. Ryan?
Oh. I did an amazing job this week. If I could pat myself on the back, I will.
I got you. You're too swole. You can't do it yourself.
I can't do it. I can't reach around.
Horn over here.
You know, when I'm on the toilet, I can't reach around. It's a tough thing. Whatever. We get past it. Anyway, what a beer. Good job, Ryan. What a beer. It's so rich and velvety. I've never used that word before, actually. Velvety. I'm going to use it right now. It is kind of like a dessert thing to me, too. I'll agree with Dan on this. It's so rich with like coffee, like the coffee beans, the roast, and you're also getting hit with that dark fruit. We were kind of debating before whether it was like either licorice or either dark fig or like just a blend between the two. I was getting a lot of licorice, and even like a hint of chocolate too in there too. This thing kind of like hits your palate with a few different ways. And we've had beers like this before in the show, and you can't get enough of stuff like this. Like this is a perfect winter beer to me.
Mm-hmm. It's hard to keep up with. Like, it's got my palate. Just each sip is different. You're getting a different flavor each sip.
Yeah, I'm getting definitely very fruity nose, fig, plum. Even, like, if I want to use a wine flavor, like a dark currant, kind of a deep red wine kind of thing going on. I'm not sure if it's fruit or licorice as well. I'm leaning towards fruit, but I don't want to say with 100% certainty. The taste is just phenomenal. It's like, it's malty, it's rich, it's smooth. And even, and I'm going to direct you guys in a little bit of an exercise here. If I could have you all take a sip, swallow it, and then take some more air in through your mouth and breathe out your nose. And I think you'll unlock a different flavor.
Wow.
Correct.
Wow.
As usual.
If you could see his face, Lucas just made dead eye contact with me while I did that.
It was like you guys were making love while drinking.
It was a moment for me.
So before I say, what did you guys get out of that?
Me? I just got fruit. Mm-hmm. And you know, this whole time I've been saying chocolate and licorice, but that was fruit. That was like I walked into the woods, found a tree full of different berries, and just shoved my face into it and started eating. I didn't know what berries I should be eating and what berries I shouldn't be, but I was eating all of them there, and they were delicious.
Mm-hmm.
I believe I was at that same tree of berries with
you. I saw
you
there.
You did. You did.
It was a centaur.
Right? Yeah. I was like, what's up, Dan? Enjoy your berries. Yes, they were. It was certainly a different, it felt like I was drinking something different, actually, a little bit through the nose. It's a little different, but yes, right again. It was completely different. I loved it. It was much more fruity, much more. I don't have a word for it.
And I'm getting the fruits when I breathe out. I'm also getting a little bit. I mean, I'm getting chocolate on the tongue and the nose and everything like that, but I'm also getting a little bit of espresso, a little bit of dark roasted coffee. I'm talking about like the finish now. So we're getting past the taste, past the breathing. Like I haven't had a sip for about a minute or so. I kind of taste that familiar espresso taste. Because I love dark coffee, love espresso. So that's what I get. And between the fruit and the smell and the taste and the finish is just phenomenal.
It's really driving it home with this one. Really loving it. I'm just... Yeah. First time on the show, and just you guys bring this. Ryan shows up, and he just slammed these beers down in front of me, Old Heathen. And I was like, what's an Old Heathen? What am I about to drink? Is this going to be some kind of age-fermented thing?
Mm-hmm.
Next thing you know, taste buds are on a ride right now.
He was all for it. He was taking his clothes off and everything. Damn, that's not needed right now, all right? Listen, we're just going to drink this right now, okay? Let's not get physical.
I got excited, okay? I wore my bow tie here today.
Only thing he had on was the bow tie, I'm pretty sure.
It was just bow... That's basically how I go through life, though, is just bow tie.
And to bring it back a little bit, the last thing that I really want to say about this before we get to our numerical rating is I like how it's like boozy and fruity a little bit on the nose. Like you take that sip and like I get it out of my glass and I'm cheating a little bit because I'm using proper glassware. If you guys want to take a sip, if you don't mind germs out of my glass, if you want to get it.
I don't mind germs after the eye contact we made. We've already shared those germs, yeah. So I'm going to take a sip.
Yeah, take a sip and a sniff as you're drinking and see if you can taste a little bit of a difference there.
Did you stare at me while you drink?
That was... The sniff is just confusing everything.
Mm-hmm. It's like boozy. You get that.
Yeah, and you're just trying to... Mm. It's almost like you're getting knocked off your feet by flavors. Just trying to...
Now I'm actually mad at you, because you have this for yourself.
You got a glassware set for Christmas.
Shut your beautiful mouth, all right? You were correct, and I didn't bring it, but everything is so embellished and amplified with that.
Mm-hmm. That is just...
Proper glassware is important, people.
You can smell that beer.
So mm-hmm. You have a faulty snifter.
I do.
And I have a pint glass. Both are improper for this beer, but
I think mine is at least a bit better than the pint glass
it
in
is.
This case.
Yeah. Mine's kind of like sticking a square peg through a circle hole, but, you know, whatever.
So for those of you who might be just joining us, we have a slightly different rating system here. We have 1 through 10 system, 10 being the most perfect beer that God has ever created in his infinite wisdom. God, Jehovah, Vishnu, Spaghetti Monster. One is the beer, the rating that I gave to the only beer I've ever drained poured in my entire life. And a 5 is completely average. A 5 is a beer you don't love, you don't hate. It just kind of exists. So, Dan, what do you think?
I'm not going to lie. And I'm trying to not over-embellish here. It's my first time. Maybe I'm just overly excited. But I got to give this 9.5 Vishnus here.
Oh, wow.
This is a 9.5. This is a beer that I just can't get enough of. Every time I sip it, I just can't wait for the next one. And I'm very excited about this beer, Ryan. Great job.
Oh, thanks. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Ryan?
Oh, is it my turn?
Yeah.
Well, Dan is on the money. He's in the ballpark. He's in the league. He's in the state.
Uh-huh.
It is not the best beer ever. It is something I would certainly get again, by all means, especially on a dark winter, cold night, fireplace, you know.
Bear rug,
everything. Yes, I would certainly give this. Go ahead and give it a. I'll give this one an 8.5 because
it upsets me that you did that.
I'm hey, to each his own, my friend. But it is a hell of a beer. It's wonderful. Weyerbacher again hits it on the nose. I do enjoy everything they make. This keeps the tradition going, and it is certainly something I would recommend to others just for. It kind of hits all the bases. Hits the fruit, hits the coffee, the chocolate, you know, dark and smooth, all of that. It is just perfect all around. I only give it an 8.5 because I've had better ones of this blend, this brand. So, but yes, 8.5. Lucas?
This is what I want to hear.
Yes.
So, I'm going to go ahead and give this beer a perfect 10 out of 10.
That's
because as I drink it, there's like different stages. There's, you know, there's the smell. Well, first there's the color, and it's like a Nunmore black stout with a great creamy tan head, which is great. And then there's the scent, there's the aroma, which is like boozy and fruity, which reminds me of Belgian, which is another great style that I love. And then the taste is just like roasted and black, but smooth. It's not overly bitter. It's not overly sweet. You've got like slight chocolate, a slight fruity sweetness going on, and then it's a really clean finish. It's not cloying, and then it's followed by that like espresso dryness that you get, which I just love. And like as I'm breathing in while I'm talking, I'm just getting espresso, espresso, espresso. And so there is not a single thing that I can find wrong with this beer. And so it earns, I mean, I can't say coveted because we have like 30 listeners a week. So, but for the people who do listen a week, if you're paying attention and you use our recommendations, which I hope you do, this is a 10 out of 10. This is a Lucas Perfect 10 beer.
Is so rare.
Yeah,
I feel bad now.
Old heathen.
I wanted to give it a 10 out of 10, but I'm looking across the table at Lucas, and he's just the king of beer. And I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to first show. I didn't want to be the new guy who gives a beer a 10. And for you to give it a 10, Lucas, I got to agree, it's delicious.
It is absolutely amazing. So really great job, Weyerbacher, on that one. And so now let's move on to, I don't want to say the real reason, but the main reason why we brought Dan over here.
Excited to be here.
We are an entertainment podcast.
One of his many highlights.
Yeah. We are an entertainment podcast at heart, and there is nothing more entertaining in America than the NFL playoffs.
Booyah.
And it is now that time of year. So, we've got, we're waiting, right, on a couple of, we're waiting on Wild Card Week.
Waiting on Wild Card Week. You're going to have Wild Card Week coming up.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have the NFC with two games, the AFC with two, mixing across all the channels. So be ready. Have your TV guides out because you're going to have ESPN, NBC, Fox, and CBS all getting a game this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have the Bengals and the Colts taking each other on. You're going to have the Steelers and the Ravens. Going to be two big-time games.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of offense-defense battles.
Those are powerhouses.
Powerhouses. And Ravens-Steelers, when is that ever a bad matchup?
Right.
Ever. You're going to have two teams that just love to hate each other. Two physical teams. And my real key this year with the playoffs, you know, a lot of people say anybody can win.
Mm-hmm.
This year, anyone can lose. It is the strangest year in the NFL possible.
Mm-hmm.
You look at these teams, and there's not that clear-cut team. The Patriots can be beat. They have flaws. The Broncos can be beat. They have flaws. And on the NFC side, where you have the Packers and the Seahawks, the two favorites, both of them have tons of flaws. The Packers have Aaron Rodgers, who could barely walk in his last start, and was stomped on by Ndamukong Suh, who is Donkey Kong Suh.
I mean, he is stomped on pretty much everybody at this point in his career.
Exactly, and I think that was just he was collecting Aaron Rodgers into that collection.
That was pretty bad, though. That was pretty bad, though, I will say.
That was like Marcus Vick style, the younger brother of Michael Vick, who pulled that off. But anybody can lose this year, that's what makes the playoffs exciting. If you're someone who's not really into football, it's not one of those years where you're going to see a 50-point win in the Super Bowl like last year, and a Seahawks team who's unbeatable at home. This Seahawks team can be beaten at home, and so can that Patriots team. I think this is the year to really get involved, especially for hipsters out there who like things that are a little bit different, people who might like IPAs and things like that. You're going to like the NFL this year because you may have a 7-8-1 Carolina Panthers team who's hot right now ride their way through the playoffs.
I was just going to say, you know, I'm cheating a little bit. I'm looking over here. And, you know, the teams that are already in the divisional round, the Patriots, Broncos, Seahawks, Packers,
yep.
Teams you'd expect.
Mm-hmm.
But you're looking at the wild card round. You're looking at teams like the Lions, the Bengals, the Panthers.
Newcomers
yep. to the playoffs. And, you know, personally, because my team is out, the Giants.
We won't name who it is.
Because they're awful. I'm kind of hoping to see an interesting Super Bowl. Yeah. I'd love to see an underdog, or at least two Titans battle it out.
Yeah, and here's what I'm going to say. A team that I want to say is going to be in the Super Bowl, not because I like them, but because I'm a Giants fan as well, Lucas, mm-hmm. and it's going to pain me to say this. The Dallas Cowboys are the most complete team in this playoff, and it kills me to say this. It kills me. It irks me.
Let
it
us stress
me.
That he does not want to say
I
this.
I don't want to say
his
this.
His views do not necessarily reflect the views of...
But I will warn you at home, people. Do not bet on Tony Romo. And it's nothing against Tony Romo. He's a great quarterback. But what happens in the playoffs is it's not about how good you are. It's about where you're playing and the timing of things. And what's going to happen as a 3 seed, if the Cowboys win, the worst thing that happened to the Cowboys was being a 3 seed. If they win, they're guaranteed to go to Lambeau Field and play in negative temperatures, and Tony Romo and the high-flying Dallas Cowboys are not ready for it.
No.
They're not a cold-weather team. Yes, they can get by the Lions. I think they're a much better team than the Lions, even though the Lions are strong. But if you're a Cowboys fan, you have the most complete team, but not complete enough to beat the Packers on the road.
Lambeau in the winter turns any team and any game really into like a classic gridiron in the trenches game, whether
exactly.
you wanted to or not.
Yeah.
You can't throw the ball. You can't try it. You have to play straight ahead football.
Exactly. And you would think what Cowboys fans are going to argue if you're listening right now is you have DeMarco Murray, best running back in the league this year, correct?
Mm-hmm.
But how are you going to get DeMarco Murray on the ground if you're not even able to establish a passing game? I don't think you're going to be able to do it. I don't think their defense is ready to stop Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is going to have a week off to get himself ready, lick his wounds, clean off the cleat marks that Ndamukong Suh left on him. And just, I think the Packers are the team to beat this year. I think the Packers have what it takes to go into Seattle, and I'm going to get killed for saying that, but everyone thinks the Seattle Seahawks are just unbeatable. But this Packers team has what it takes. I think they can go in there. I think they can match up enough good receivers to beat up on Richard Sherman and take the NFC.
Okay. So, you know, again, I'm looking at some of these matchups here, and I want to ask you about the Panthers and the Cardinals.
Yes.
Because we have a losing team in the playoffs this year.
And it's not the Cardinals. If you've watched them the last few weeks, you would think it was the Arizona Cardinals that was losing.
You've got the Panthers, which are the fourth seed coming in. I don't know. What do you think? Panthers or Cardinals?
See, once again, with the theme, anyone can lose. This is a game where it's going to be who wants to win the least. That's what it's going to come down to. And it's just, you have, I think what happens in this game is you're going to have Cam Newton, yet a running quarterback in, and when it's going to become a defensive battle. And what happens is you want as many guys involved. The Cardinals have no running game. They lost Andre Ellington. They're on their fourth quarterback of the season. And you just can't establish an offense that way. And unless it's 6-3, I can't see the Cardinals winning this game. I think Cam Newton is going to put up two scores at least himself, run one of them in. I think it's 21-17. The Panthers wind up winning with a defensive score.
Okay.
Wow.
All right, so let's move past the wild card round now, because, like you said, anybody can win.
Yeah.
So, really quickly, if you could.
Yes.
Give us the rundown. Who's winning the wild card games?
Wild card games, you got to go in the AFC. I'm going Steelers, even without Le'Veon Bell, just because the Ravens cannot throw the ball. Flacco can't. Then I'm going to go with the Bengals, because eventually Andy Dalton has to win a football game. Eventually, guys.
Statistics show that eventually.
If you keep throwing him out there, the guys, something's got to stick. You know what I mean? And I think that's what happens in the AFC. NFC, like I said, the Panthers win a close one with the Cardinals. And then I think the Cowboys are going to eke by the Lions. I think the Lions are better than a lot of people think. But without Sue, I think they're just going to run through the middle of that defense and wind up winning that game.
All right. So now we moved into the divisional round.
Yep.
Who's making it to the Super Bowl, Dan?
The Super Bowl in the NFC, like I said, I really think this Packers team is going to beat the Cowboys at home. I think it's going to be Packers-Cowboys. The Seahawks are begging the Cowboys to win, because then they get the winner of the Cardinals-Panthers if that happens. Right. If they don't, they have to get the Lions. So they're begging the Cowboys to win. They're going to roll over whoever comes into town. The Panthers played a close game with the Seahawks earlier this year, but that was a different Panthers team. A lot of injuries have come. But I think Packers play the Seahawks to go in the NFC. Packers win it. Don't bet against a quarterback who can win games late. And Aaron Rodgers is the better quarterback. And if he's healthy, Packers win that game. Then in the AFC, the Steelers, I want to pick them.
You do, don't you?
I want to. Like, you look at them and you just go, Pittsburgh Steelers, every time you see the Steelers.
They look, not only do they look good year after year, but they've also suffered so much.
Year after year.
You just want this to finally be the year for them.
Ah, and you just look at that team and you say, it can do it. But what it comes down to in the AFC is three things. Home field, Broncos and Patriots have it. So that eliminates some people. Then it comes down to experience. Both of them have experience, right? They both have it. And the third thing I'm going to say is Tom Brady. And I just think Tom Brady with Rob Gronkowski is a man on a mission. And I think, folks, I think you're going to see a rematch of a 90s Super Bowl that was between Brett Favre and Drew Bledsoe. And you're going to see a little Packers-Patriots, a little old school. And Lucas talked about wanting to see underdogs. Hate the rain on your parade.
It's not going to happen.
But if anyone can lose, I just think the key is going to be, I think you might see Patriots-Steelers to go to the Super Bowl. And you know what's the difference? Funniest difference it could be. LeGarrette Blount was a running back in the Steelers who refused to stay on the field because he wasn't getting enough touches, and the Steelers dropped him. Patriots picked him up. He's now tearing it up with the Patriots. I think he puts up 150 yards, leads the Patriots past the Steelers. Patriots going to the Super Bowl.
It's interesting that you mentioned that, because I remember when that was transpiring and that was happening, and thinking to myself, he's a good running back. Why not change the offense a little bit to accommodate this guy? I mean, could he have gone about it a different way? You always hate to see guys that bring that locker room stuff out into the public a little bit, but at the same time, he's really good, and he's showing that now.
And that's the thing in football. What people start doing is they make everyone expendable. Football's a contact sport. We're all men here, you know. We're tough. We're drinking our Weyerbachers in the cold. You know what I mean? But it's like not everything works that way. And you just dumped off your team for nothing. A guy that has put up 80 yards a game since going to the Patriots and has notched 4 TDs. I mean, you've given the Patriots the one thing they were missing, which is a power back that's tough to tackle. And I've watched Lucas play pickup football games. We used to call him the bus. LeGarrette Blount is the... and Lucas is the... It was the LeGarrette Blount of our games. That's what Blount's going to be for this Patriots team. And I think it's just going to be that missing piece that the Steelers don't have now with Le'Veon Bell getting hurt. I just think it's karma. And you just bring it in, and the Patriots are just unbeatable in Gillette Stadium. They're unbeatable in New England. And as much as I don't think they're the best team they've been, I just don't see them losing. I think they're going to squeak by two close games and make me look smart. And I think it's going to be Patriots-Packers. I really do in the Super Bowl.
And so now, Patriots or Packers?
And it...
First of all, after last year's game, which we can all agree was pretty boring.
The most boring game.
That was quite terrible.
I was getting my master's at the time. I had to sit there and dissect the commercials for the entire game, and I thought it was going to be a very fun assignment. You know, we had to go over marketing, doing some details, and I wound up watching the first quarter, and it wound up being one of the most difficult assignments of my master's time because trying to watch that football game was...
Is it going to be better this year?
I think it's better, and I think one reason is it's not outdoors in cold weather.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be in Arizona. It's going to be warm. It's going to be indoors. The weather never changes indoors, folks. And what's going to happen is you're going to have Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers matching up, but Aaron Rodgers brings one extra thing to the table, and it's that he can move. He can run. And I think Clay Matthews gets the pass rush on Tom Brady, and I think they have that same Giants push that the Giants used to beat Tom Brady twice.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Tom Brady falls short for a third time in a row. I think Tom Brady falls short for a third time in a row.
That feels nice to hear.
It's good.
And it feels good to say it.
It feels right.
It rolls off the tongue the same way this kind of rolls on the tongue that I'm drinking right now. It's just, but I just...
And Tom Brady spent a lot of time on the ground last week, too.
Exactly. And, you know, you look at these matchups, and what you have to do is you have to eliminate things. Because when you get to the playoffs, everyone's the same team.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how you got to look at it. All these teams are here for a reason. Even the 7-8-1 Panthers. And what happens is, what's the difference? The difference between these two quarterbacks is Aaron Rodgers can move and Tom Brady stationary. The difference between the Packers and the Patriots is the Packers have a ton of different weapons and Eddie Lacy's a better power back. LeGarrette Blount's not as good of a power back as Eddie Lacy, and they don't have as many weapons. They just have Rob Gronkowski. And the Packers' defense has done enough, and that's all it takes.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it's going to take in that game is to do enough, and I think if you're picking out your boxes, you're cheering for a weird score because I think there's going to be a lot of field goals in that game, 32-23. I think the Patriots go for two late in the game, trying to make it a one-score game. 32-23. I say if you have 2-3 in your box scores, you're going to have a very nice Super Bowl.
Well, I'm glad that we have all this on record. We'll be able to...
I see you brought your A-game here tonight.
It's like Vicky Valancourt. From I said.
You know, I mean, looking at this, I'm going to actually have to go with Steelers-Packers. Maybe it's just my inherent like rooting for the Steelers kind of a thing, or like rooting for that underdog. But I'm going to go with Steelers Packers, and then Packers take it.
Yeah, and I love the pick. I think if Le'Veon Bell is healthy, it's a different story.
Mm-hmm.
If Le'Veon Bell's healthy, he's a better running back than what the Patriots have, and that's the difference.
Right.
Le'Veon Bell isn't healthy right now, so we're going to see. And I think if he's healthy, though, I love that Steelers team. I love the way they're put together.
Now, Ryan is a Jets fan, so he doesn't know much about football.
I don't know much about winning
he's
football.
He's also a Mets fan.
That's a rough existence.
Yeah.
That is.
Yeah. Did you also vote for the Socialist Party in 1918?
I was born in the Great Depression.
Lucas humor is always the best.
No happy thought. Yeah. Oh,
what do you think, Ryan? Give us a pick.
Honestly, a blind shot. I was actually, while you were speaking, I was looking at Packers and Patriots, because I have watched a couple Packers games this season. They did look pretty good. Patriots, I hate them, but I know they'll end up in the Super Bowl. I'm going to have to go ahead and say Packers and Patriots myself.
And who wins?
Patriots.
Going against me on a Patriot. And, you know, I just think that's something that's going to come down to defense.
Because I know, like we were saying, Tom Brady and everything and how he sucks and, you know, he should die and everything. But I just feel like this is probably going to be his year. Lucas is giving me the face.
Well, I mean, finish your thought.
No, I just from his performance and just how it's just a feeling. Mm-hmm. It's all I can say. It's just a feeling. I just feel like it's going to end up in his court. I just think he's going to walk away with it.
All right. Well, there you go. There's your NFL playoff predictions from Dan Kimchick and your very abbreviated Super Bowl predictions from the rest of the News Over Brews team. But yeah, so we stay tuned and like keep watching the NFL playoffs and you know, make a little Dan Kimchick list. And if you want to play a little drinking game at home, yes, do a shot every time that Dan is wrong.
Which will be a lot. You're going to don't drive after this game, folks.
And go ahead and buy yourself a nice bomber of craft beer every time he's right.
Yeah,
that's good. And you know, I want to just point out is you guys talk a lot about pop culture and I'm watching all the time because there's a lot of things I don't know that I'm trying to learn.
Me too. Well, exactly. I'm on the show.
Exactly. And, you know, football is just like any of your favorite television shows once you get to the playoffs, but it's unscripted. You know, it's real reality television. Mm-hmm. You don't know what's going to happen, and it's what makes it so fun. Like, I could be wrong day one. The Steelers could get knocked out. The Bengals could get knocked out. All these teams, like, everything could change, and the Cardinals could wind up Ryan Lindley may be the greatest quarterback of all time. You never know.
Yeah.
And that's the best part about the playoffs. So give it a chance. Like, even if you're not a big football fan, try some games out, you know. It's very exciting this time of year.
Yeah, I know. I'll definitely be watching. You know, the nice thing about my team not being in it is because I can just watch it and be neutral.
That's great.
Same.
Yeah.
Which is every year. Every year. Yeah,
which is every year.
Every year. Like, oh, it's the playoffs. All good. It's anybody's game. Not mine.
So, yeah. Thank you, Dan. And we're going to keep carrying you over. Uh-huh. And we're going to finish talking about our other two topics tonight, which I know it's been a while, but we're going to be talking about the directing changes for the new Star Trek film and recent casting rumors surrounding James Bond. So stick around.
Ooh.
So we are back from our non-existent commercial break because we have no sponsors.
That was a good commercial break.
Yeah. Well, you know what we'll do? We'll make up a sponsor. We'll make up a commercial.
We should.
That's what we'll do. So yeah. So wait. So now we're back from our commercial break, thanks to our sponsor for sponsoring us.
It was the 1997 trailer of our reiteration of the Batman and Robin movie, isn't it, right?
Oh, with so, Mr. Freeze.
So thank you for sponsoring us with your thing that you're sponsoring us with. And so we'd like to introduce a new guest on the podcast, Al Manarino.
Happy to have you here, Al.
Hey, yeah, Al, what's
up? It's great to have you. How are you?
Glad you can make it.
Hi, guys. Glad to be here. This is my first time on the show. Wait, is it?
God, I'm bored of them already. Can we kick them off?
No, wait, no.
So, Al, thank you for being here with us tonight. We know you had some other things to attend to, so we kind of started without you, and now we're picking you up halfway through. So to get you up to speed, we already are drunk, and we've been talking about football. So now we're moving into entertainment. And the next topic we're moving into is a small shakeup on the Star Trek III front. Al, would you like to tell us about that?
Yes. So for the longest time, we've known that J.J. Abrams wouldn't be returning to the Star Trek franchise because he's a little busy with another star-related franchise, also known as Star Wars. He is doing Episode 7. And so now he can't be doing Star Trek, so he was going to pass the torch over to some of the writers. It was between Robert Orci,
Orca,
and wasn't it Kurtzman? Was the other guy? Rye, I'm looking at you.
Alex Kurtzman.
Yes. So it was the writers of the first two, and then they said one of them was going to direct, and then it went to Robert Orci, and now
they flipped the coin.
And now, yeah, they probably flipped the coin. Now that's changed. Out of nowhere, he's like, yeah, I'm not doing it anymore. And they've replaced him quite suddenly with a strange pick. Someone who we love for completely other reasons. But is he the right fit for Star Trek? I doubt it. And that man is Justin Lin, the director of the last few Fast and Furious films. Ryan, I'm going to take it to you first before I give it to the Star Trek freak.
That's not me. That's me.
As a fan of Justin Lin's work with the Fast and Furious films, do you see him branching out and directing something of this magnitude?
Well, yeah. I mean, I originally he was actually supposed to direct the new Terminator film. He was rumored for that for a while, and then that kind of fell apart. And then he went back and he directed the sixth one. And you know, I think he is right for it. It seems like a strange choice. I told Lucas before, and he responded by punching me right in the kidney. but I thought it was it's a bold choice, and you know what? This guy knows how to direct action and intense sequences. I don't think anyone can, I don't think anyone can deny that. Yeah. He really can. He's a good filmmaker. They know what to expect bringing him on. He's good. He is actually a really good storyteller. He can do good dramatic scenes, if you can call certain scenes in Fast and Furious dramatic. When Vin Diesel oiled up the Rock, his biceps and everything, that was pretty dramatic.
That's a great scene.
But he can put together a really good story. He invests a lot of passion into it, and I mean, it's a different family of sorts. Like the Fast and Furious franchise is kind of the Fast and Furious franchise has built up into this whole. It's kind of a following now. Each movie gets bigger than the last. Star Trek obviously has a huge fan base, and no one here watches the show or likes it in any way.
I mean, as like an outsider over here,
yeah.
I just want to see them at some point mesh together these two series, because I've watched Fast and the Furious. I watched the whole series, but I don't watch Star Trek. Why don't we put some Lamborghinis and Vin Diesel in space? Who are all these aliens?
Reports,
right?
Is there is a new Romulan leader. Romulan leader. His name is Diesel. Or Toretto. I don't know.
Listen.
And it's called Star Trek 3 Romulan Drift. I just wanted to say that one on air.
Star Trek 3 can't be any worse than Star Trek 2.
Star Trek 3 The Wrath of Toretto?
I shouldn't say that, because they'll find a way. So here's the thing.
Well, before they did release set photos, it's the captain's chair.
It doesn't matter.
And he's got two tanks of NOS next to the chair.
with a 14-gear gear shifter.
Yes.
And the longest runway.
I just don't know how the girls wear those bathing suits in space. You know what I mean? You would think they would need more oxygen tanks.
Here's the thing about Star Trek.
Can you drift an Enterprise?
Well,
they do.
You can technically. It happened in The Next Generation a couple of times.
Of course it
did. So, as a Star Trek fan, I mean, I'm glad J.J. Abrams.
You can't be mad at this decision.
I'm not. I'm glad J.J. Abrams is no longer attached to the project. I'm really happy. J.J. and I have been on rough. It's been well documented on this podcast that J.J. and I have been on rough terms for like the last 2 years. You know, Jay, listen, I've called you. I'm willing to make up if you just listen to me.
You've sent him numerous letters.
He never answers back. That's never what I don't answers. Get.
Some person named Secret Service telling him to stop. I don't know. It's weird.
So I don't know. I mean, I'm glad that J.J. Abrams is no longer attached to the project. I'm glad that, and I mean, to be fair, I liked Fast and Furious 6 more than I liked Star Trek 2. Like, legitimately, as both a film, as a film and as an action movie, I liked Fast 6 more than Star Trek 2.
Or even 5.
I'm a big Tokyo Drift guy.
I liked 5 better than 2. 6, no.
5 and 6 were both better than 2. So I'm actually okay with this. I want to see what this new guy can bring to the table in terms of vision. The only thing I'm worried about now is the script. Because the script's being rewritten.
Yeah, Robert Orsi is not doing the script anymore.
I mean, it
either.
Could be a good thing if the script is awful, and if Robert Orsi wrote the script, then I mean, God help us all. But the thing is, it's interesting. I was reading an interview with him, and he was defending the alternate timeline. He was basically telling all the Star Trek fans to suck it up. We're doing something different.
Which
is fine.
I think it's
if different was good. Yeah. If your different was good, I'd be fine with that. But your different sucks.
Yeah.
Your different is god awful. Your different is taking the best parts of the original timeline and reworking them and making them, changing some of the details. You call them homages. I call it lazy writing.
Yeah.
So I don't have high hopes for Star Trek III. I almost want to say, could it get worse than two, with the glaring plot holes and the horrendous script writing and the terrible shot selection? But it could. It legitimately could be worse.
Lucas, this is a different guy than the man who made eye contact with me while this I took a sip of my beer. This is what happens when we
start talking about J.J. Abrams and the new Star Trek franchise. I get into, like, a mood, and, like, I just don't want to even...
Well, Justin Lin is way more qualified as a director and, you know, visionary than Robert Orsi, okay. I think.
And J.J. Abrams.
Oh! Al, what's your take on this?
Al's giving the point.
I don't think Justin Lin is the right choice. I think he would have been better suited for Terminator. I agree with you. Big budget action film. That's Justin Lin. Deep thought, character development, story. He's never done any of that. So I don't think he is the right choice. There's a ton of better directors out there that could have made a better Star Trek, I think. Even Abrams. He could have redeemed himself for the second one, even though I actually enjoyed the second one. I'm not a super crazy Star Trek fan, so I didn't hate it as much. But it was kind of universally hated amongst the Star Trek fans. They ranked all the films...
It was a terrible Star Trek movie.
They ranked all the Star Trek films, and it was actually the least... It was, like, the least favorite out of all of them, which is, I think, a little rough. But going back on Justin Lin, I liked Fast and Furious 5. I thought 6 was more of the same thing in a good way, but not as good as 5. I just don't... I can't see him directing it unless the script was phenomenal. And, I mean, I think Abrams is still on as a producer, executive producer. So, I mean, the vision's not going to... It's not going to diminish at all, but I just think Justin Lin might be the wrong person. Freaking give it to Edgar Wright. He's not doing anything now. He's probably doing a couple things, but it'd be so cool to see his take on a big budget movie. We're never going to see that now, I think, because of what happened with Marvel. And I guess that's good because he likes doing his own thing and not really having to play by other people's rules. So it would be cool to see him. It'd be cool to see kind of anyone else than Justin Lin. I really don't hate the guy, but I mean, his background's what? Saw and Fast and Furious. That makes him
the perfect director for this movie, Al?
Why?
Because the new Star Trek film is not about character development. There is no character development in the new Star Trek film.
Is there Lamborghinis?
There are no Lamborghinis.
Not yet.
There is no character development whatsoever. We are told things in the new Star Trek films. And that's not their fault, because they're creating an alternate timeline with no episodic content to back them up. So, like, the original Star Trek films, the death of Spock was so poignant because you had 79 episodes, prior to that, which told you Spock and Kirk's relationship. In the second Star Trek movie, we're told Spock and Kirk are friends. And then they kill one of them, and then they bring them back to life with Tribbles, which makes no fucking sense. But beyond that, it's not the new Star Trek film is not about character development. They tried that already. They made those movies already, and they didn't do well. And they're not viewed well among new audiences. New audiences aren't looking for character development in new movies. When they made Star Trek Nemesis, that's a great Star Trek film. That is one of my top 5 Star Trek films of all time. Because it's like 2.5 hours, and there's character development, and there's plot, and there's phenomenal acting. But it wasn't received well by modern audiences. Because modern audiences don't want that. And I don't fault them for that. But that's why I think Edgar Wright could never do a successful Star Trek movie. Because he would write the Star Trek movie for Star Trek fans. He would write a 2.5 hour, 3 hour epic. Whereas Jeremy Lin
is a great basketball player, is a sports guy. But I don't think he would direct a good movie anywhere.
Mr. Lin would, I think, direct, based on his work in Fast and Furious, would direct a much better film for modern audiences, while hopefully still retaining some classic Trek, although I'm not optimistic.
No.
Am I going to see it? No. I'm going to torrent it like I did the other two movies. And then I'm going to text you, Al, angrily, asking you why, demanding to know why.
Like I have the answers to why.
Al, to jump in, by the way, Justin Lin did not direct Saw.
Wasn't he?
James Wan did, who was directing Fast and Furious 7. So, pretty much the same thing.
Is that racist that I said that?
Yeah, a little bit.
A little racist.
Somewhat.
A little bit.
All right. Well, anyway.
So now moving away from Al's blatant racism and non-tolerance for other cultures besides
his
own.
Let's get as far away from that as we can, seriously. I didn't come here for that.
We at News Over Brews do not endorse the views of Al Manarino. On
it's
race
like, it's
and
like I'm watching Gran Torino.
This is why I originally kidnapped him at the beginning of the show. Now he's back.
We are completely tolerant of any and all peoples, regardless of skin color, unless they're Al Manarino. Let's move on to our final topic.
I feel like my podcast has gone away from me.
Oh yeah, no, I took it over.
Lucas owns it now.
Damn it, Luke.
So one of my favorite people, one of everyone's favorite people.
I love
Dave Grohl.
Universally loved.
Universally loved. Such a good dude. The only time he's ever been hospitalized for a drug overdose is when he drank too much coffee while mixing his latest album.
So
and he was hospitalized for a caffeine overdose. What a guy.
He also has the greatest Nickelback joke ever.
Really?
Yeah. Have you ever heard the joke?
No, I've never heard the joke.
There is no jokes about Nickelback. Nothing's funny about ruining music.
Dan might have a permanent host on this podcast.
That's great. I like that.
So Dave Grohl, in his like infinite quest to continuously make music better, has teamed up with a whole bunch of people. He's bringing in people from Alkaline Trio, from Black Flag, from Slipknot, Corey Taylor from Slipknot, who's doing everything with everyone right now. He went on tour with Steel Panther for a little bit, a couple of dates in Europe. He's done songs with Steel Panther. Corey Taylor has been doing just everything with everyone. He did a song on the new, not new anymore, but the Ronnie James Dio tribute album with Satchel from Steel Panther. Did a song on there, so he's just been doing everything. Slipknot's back together. They got new masks. They're ready to go on tour. But he's found time to team up with Dave Grohl and form a supergroup. Yeah. They're doing an album. They're already recording. What do you think?
I'm still on this podcast?
Oh, yeah, we still need you for a couple of things.
Yes. Okay, so Dave Grohl in a supergroup. You know what my biggest question about this whole thing is? Where does he have the time between making a new album, filming a whole new documentary series on HBO about making that album? Right before that, he made another documentary about Sound City. He's currently on a huge stadium tour with the Foo Fighters. They're actually going to be playing City Field soon. Which is awesome. I mean, where does this man have time to form a supergroup? And why is he so awesome? How do I become that awesome? That's my question. Dan?
Yeah, when I was looking at this lineup, Lucas brought this supergroup up today, and I started getting excited when I saw Pat Smear. And I have this theory that anytime Pat Smear gets involved with Dave Grohl, something amazing happens. The word scrumptrescent comes to mind when I hear Pat Smear and Dave Grohl. And it just, when he brought out this new CD with the new album with the Foo Fighters, with Pat Smear back on it, bringing back some Nirvana guys, now he's going with a super group. This guy is just, he can't miss. He's a can't miss type musician right now. And he's just saving music in my mind. I love the guy. Mm-hmm. Lucas, I mean, you got to agree with that.
Yeah, no, the new Foo Fighters album was just phenomenal. I mean, Something from Nothing is a great song. I mean, yes, does it completely rip off Ronnie James Dio and Holy Diver? Absolutely. But it's not a ripoff, it's an homage.
Exactly.
Yeah, and like it's one of those things where like you hear it and you go, oh, that's Dio. But it's like, okay, but they're doing their own take on it. Yep. So Dave Grohl has this way of like just writing awesome things. Like they have energy, they've got talent. But the one thing that they have, which I think a lot of music doesn't have, is they've got balls. They're willing to put a guitar solo in. They're willing to mix it up. They're willing to be heavy. There are a lot of bands right now, most of them listened to by Al, who are just not heavy whatsoever. They show up in their plaid and their suspenders and their glasses, and they play guitars on Clean Channel, and they sing about how they want things to be better, but they probably won't, but they might still get better.
Are we talking about Coldplay?
Yes, we're talking about Coldplay.
Lucas has a, Al knows, Lucas has a cover band, Warm Fun, which is a Coldplay cover band.
It's Warm Stop.
Warm Stop.
I don't have
I always called it Warm Fun.
I don't have a Coldplay cover band.
So I just don't know
what it is.
He
wishes he did, though. I love his Coldplay cover band.
So I'm really excited. And I'm really excited to get Corey Taylor, who's a great vocalist, involved. And just the influences. I'm a huge Black Flag fan. I love Black Flag. So in my mind, I'm hearing a really heavy, punky rock. Like something old school, you know? Something that doesn't mess around with this new conventions of auto-tune and the synth and all that, you know, just something old and heavy with two guitars, a bass, a drummer, and a singer.
Gravelly.
Yeah.
Bring some gravel in. Yeah. You want it to sound like you're just laying out a parking lot when you're singing some rock songs.
Yeah, man, bring some rough edge back to music. Do something.
The cool thing about Grohl is he won't repeat himself with Nirvana, with Foo Fighters, with his side projects. He's constantly trying to bring something new to the table. And that's why I'm always excited to see his name in front of something or a part of something, because I'm like, oh, cool. Yeah, it's Dave Grohl, but he's going to be filling my ears with something new. I'm excited. I'm always excited anytime his name is mentioned. It's just awesome.
Yeah, no, I mean, same here. It's just, you know, it seems, and the only thing is, it seems like every time he comes up with something, like Dave Grohl announces something, it's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Ryan, do you have any?
No, I don't actually.
How do you not have thoughts on a Dave Grohl supergroup? Oh, just think about Dave Grohl and Pat Smear for a second. Just think about those two together. I swear, well, I've had that theory forever.
He's pass it on to Dan.
He's a Jets
thoughts.
Fan. He's lost all hope for anything.
We talked about football, and Al wasn't here to listen to just Ryan be torn apart by the just sport and idea of football.
I'm a
and
Giants
sports
fan,
for Ryan
so.
Is a tough subject.
We actually had to explain the sport of football to him.
We were like, you actually want to throw the ball to your teammates, and he always thought, the other team? It's not the other
I
team.
I thought you just handed it to them, and then they win.
That's a Jets mentality, Ryan.
You get points for being a good person, and you don't.
He thought there was a lot more morals in it, but as we've seen from the NFL this year, there's not a lot
no
of
morals.
It.
Obviously, me and Rex Ryan are on the same page, so, you know.
You have a foot fetish too?
Perhaps.
Every foot by foot, you know what I mean?
Oh,
it's a game of football.
3 feet in a yard. That's why he loves football so much.
3 feet in a yard.
God, with the jokes tonight. All right.
So, I mean, it seems like most of us here are pretty much excited about Dave Grohl. And, you know, I mean, we'll be staying on top of it, I guess, as things are released, right?
What was the name of the group before we get off the subject?
See, I was hoping you wouldn't ask that question.
See,
I actually don't remember.
I believe it had to do with teenage. It was, what is it? I'm trying to think.
Hold on.
It was Teenage Time Killers, I think it is.
I got this.
It's got to be Teenage Time.
I was going to Google Foo this.
Yeah, you were right, actually. Teenage Time Killers.
See, that's a guy who knows. When I see Pat Smear, things just start sticking in my brain.
And the other...
They get smeared on there?
Because, exactly.
I was going to say, the other supergroup that he had, the previous one, was them Crooked Vultures.
Oh, okay.
Well, they were amazing. So
yeah.
So if they're any inclination of what this is going to be, you're in for something.
That was with
insane.
Josh Homme from Queens of the Stone Age.
Yeah, and Paul Jones from Zeppelin.
Yeah. Oh yeah, some guy from
Zeppelin.
Some
dude.
A guy who existed in Zeppelin.
Yeah. So, it seems like we're all excited here except for Ryan.
Who has no comment.
It's so cool. I'm speechless.
So, we'll definitely keep you updated on both of those scenarios, because I love Star Trek and we all love Dave Grohl except for Ryan. So, when new things come out, we'll be sure to let you know. And that's it for this week on News Over Brews.
I'd like to thank our guest.
Yeah, I know we changed things up on you a little bit. I hope you're cool with that. If you're not, let us know in the comments. We'll be sure to ignore you and keep doing what we're doing.
Correct.
I'm just kidding. We'll definitely pay attention to you. So my name is Lucas Jones. I was the de facto host for this week, so I don't get a sign-off.
Oh. Ooh.
I'm Ryan DeMarco. I was born to give up. I like horrible teams, and I'm a retard.
I'm Dan Kemchek, and as I always say at the end of my hockey broadcast, feel free to write me hate mail. I get a lot of it. And I've enjoyed doing this, guys, and I've loved your beer. Hope you love me.
Well, we have. We loved having you on, and we'll definitely have
you
on.
We'll love you tenderly all night.
Yes. We'll have to have you.
That's what I want
to
hear.
And we want to say goodbye to our final guest, Al Manarino.
Our guest. My guest, Al.
I'm Al Manarino, and this is really weird to be on this end of the podcast.
He was once the host of this show.
I was a host once.
He's been demoted.
Thank you guys for listening. Have a great night. Make sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And stay tuned for updates on our YouTube channel. We're almost done with our Artisans.
Artisans will be released the first day of the new year, so stay tuned.
Yeah, and stay tuned for all new future updates from us. And if you ever get stuck in a situation where you don't know what beer to buy for a special occasion, pop on our Instagram. We've got a ton of different beers on there. We've got all different ratings and descriptions. So, yeah, give us a shout-out.
Or ask us on Twitter.
Just ask us on Twitter.
You're bored one day.
Please, somebody talk to us.
Seriously. I follow them on Twitter, and I try to talk to them when I can. And they really talk back well. You know, they only give compliments to you. Yeah. They told me how handsome I looked the other day, and I think it was a lie, but I really like it.
It wasn't a lie.
Please hit us up on Twitter. I'm tired of talking to these other two people.
He's going to put an ad in the paper for two more hosts.
So that's all from us at News Over Brews. Have a great night.
Thanks for listening.